No one's depending on these notes too much, are they? I'd like us to begin today's message by paying attention to the above.
Someone who puts life on hold to care for you. Someone with boundless patience.
Well, it is that day. Didn't used to be that day, around 100 years ago, until some woman by the name of Anna M. Jarvis buried her mother, for which she was so thankful for the contributions her mother made to her life that she gave a flower to each of the people who were attending the memorial service for her mom. And it appears that it caught on, and just a handful of years later, it got before Congress because it was catching on in the states, a number of major cities. And then it was Woodrow Wilson who locked in the actual date to the second Sunday in May. And so for about 100 years, we've been in some form or another celebrating what we call Mother's Day. How do we celebrate it? We certainly don't want to do what President Bokassa in Central African Republic did, where in 1971, everyone who was convicted of a crime against his mother, he executed them. It's a horrible thing, but that's just the way it was. Well, how can we honor our mothers? How can we do a better job at that? And I realize that some of you, your mothers, have long departed from this earth. And so you'll have to compute this message in a different way, perhaps thinking about perhaps a sister or a grandmother or somebody next door who has children, because mothers all need our help. And you can help them, and help specifically to honor them. You know, this morning I'll remind you of some things. I doubt that you're going to learn anything new, but you know, there are a number of scriptures like 2 Peter 1:12, where he says, I always remind you of these things, even though you know them already. And the same thing in Jude. He says, though you already know this, I want to remind you of what the Lord has done. This morning, I just simply remind you what the Lord has said in one fashion or another. Firstly, remember that honoring your mother is on God's permanent top 10 list. David Letterman, as you know, has this nightly show, and every night he'll have this top 10 list. And the subject changes, the topic changes, depending on what the fad of the day is. And he'll give this top 10. Well, God has a top 10. And as you may have become aware by now, that the list never changes. You know, when he gave it to Moses a number of years ago, centuries ago, he figured that list was good enough. And we're not going to recycle or do some other stuff. We're going to just have this one every day, and we'll just keep putting it before you. You see, number five, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. You see, as you know, the list has 10 items on it, like don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't murder, and thrown right in there next to them, right up there with these other things like don't murder, is honor your mother. Now, I'll just mention just briefly a little distinction here that might help some of you. Others, you know this already. There's a little difference between obeying your mother and honoring her. When you obey her, you do honor her, by the way. But you may honor her without obeying her. And particularly as you get older, you see, when you get to be about 18 or so and you move out of the house and you're on your own, you don't have to obey your mother anymore. You know, a man leaves his home and he goes, or a woman, and establishes their own home. And so you have to run your own life. But there's one commandment that still abides, whether you live at home as a youngster or whether you're older. And that commandment is you still honor your mom. It's on the top 10 list. And that's what God wants us to be doing. And maybe just knowing that fact, that it's on the permanent list from God, that it may help you to do that, that this is God's will for your life. It might help you do that better. Secondly, contribute to your family's reputation. We're talking about how we to better honor our moms. Well, you know, moms, families, they have reputations. And Proverbs 23 says, make your father truly happy by living right and showing sound judgment. Make your parents proud, especially your mother. This is the contemporary English version. Make your mother happy. It's by demonstrating wisdom. All the other translations list the word wisdom. But the CEV goes ahead and tells you what wisdom is. They say wisdom is, it's sound judgment and living right. You want to bring honor to your mom? Use good judgment and live right. It's that simple. You know, you got a good mind. You're making wise decisions. You're not like wasting your time, your energy, your money, getting involved in things that are foolish or don't matter. And after you make these decisions and you get moving down a direction, you're a person of integrity. You're a person of character. And these are the things that make a parent proud. And there's a sense in which it's okay to use the word pride or proud in Christian circles in the positive sense. And when they feel good about you, they understand and appreciate what you're doing. And that's the way you can honor your mother, by using wisdom in your life. Because it contributes not only to your own life, but to the family. People want to feel good about your families, especially moms. Who wants to feel like, I've raised an idiot? They want to feel like, this guy could have been president, or this woman, she could have been a saint, if you believe in those kind of things. We all believe in saints. As you trust in Christ, you become a saint. But you can imagine, here you are, you're out in traffic, you've just come from some event, and you're off somewhere else, and you're in a hurry, okay? So, like, you're stopping intersections, you're blocking the intersections, people can't get out, because you want to make sure that you don't lose a second, okay? And you're, like, cutting people off, and then you're going down, when you get out on the beltway, you're going 90 miles an hour down the road, and you got this bumper sticker on the back, and it says, my mother taught me everything I know. You see, you carry with you your reputation, whether you have a bumper sticker or not. And you, believe it or not, represent your mom, whether she's living or dead. And the way you can honor her is by making that reputation worthy of what she would be proud of. How do we honor our moms better? Pray for your mother each morning, each night. A little difficult if she has passed away. But there are mothers around you. Like I said, there are grandmothers, sisters with children, friends, and they need your prayers. I've taken the liberty of using 1 Samuel 12. Samuel says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." The context, of course, was the Israelites had sinned against God, and they had ignored God, going their own way. They weren't happy with God's portion, so they just wanted to live out on their own and do things their way. And they weren't happy with God as their primary king, or only king, so they wanted, hey, why can't we have a king like the rest of the world? And so God reluctantly granted them a king so they could get out of a theocracy mode. And so they, like everybody else, I mean, a divine theocracy. So they got their king. But the point was that Samuel understood that this people needed a lot of help. And you look around, you know, it's women who are raising kids. They need a lot of help. It was Dobson, James Dobson. Dr. Dobson said one time that raising two small kids is more difficult than, or it's like combat, but combat duty. You know, you think of these guys out there in combat duty, that's what it's like, especially on some days. It's just an impossible task. And you don't realize how difficult it may have been when you were young, but it can be quite challenging. Some of your moms can testify to that. So they need your prayers. I say every morning and every night. And I use that because of a story I heard about Robert Moffat. Somebody said when Robert Moffat got converted to Christianity, a whole continent got converted to Christianity. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't know much about him. But I have a feeling that the Wheelers may know a little bit about him, perhaps, because he was a missionary. And in his case, that he was a missionary who served 50 long years on the mission field. And he laid the foundation for the Christian church in South Africa, and particularly in two nations that we now call Zimbabwe and Botswana. And Zimbabwe is where one of our missionaries, Barbara Porter, was now serving. But when Robert Moffat was a young man and he was leaving home, his mother walked with him a long way till finally she got to the point where she couldn't walk anymore, and so she's going to send him on his way. And she says, "Robert, promise me something before you leave." He said, "What?" He says, "Robert, please promise me something before you leave, will you?" "Mom, what is it?" She says, "Robert, will you just promise me this before you leave?" He said, "All right, Mom, whatever you want, I promise I'll do it." And she said, "Robert, will you begin every day with God? Begin every day with God and end every day with God." This morning, I simply use that story because, you know, if you have a mom, you know what she needs? She needs you to begin every day with God, especially as you come to Him and hold her up before God. You say, "God, here's this woman. She's going to need your help today, just like me. And at the end of the day, you know, she's going to need your prayer again. Each new day, begin by holding your mother or some mother before God, asking God's grace, and in the same at the end of the day. It's hard to think of much better advice than that, because, you know, sometimes there's nothing else works. We just got to get God involved. And the way He gets involved big time is whenever people are actively using the means of grace. And the means of grace is prayer. It doesn't seem, you'd think, well, we all know that. But I'm especially raising that acutely to your awareness this morning. That you want to honor some mother, your mother, or a grandmother, or a sister. You want to somehow elevate her. Begin every day by holding her before God in prayer. And even if it's 5 seconds or 2 minutes, whatever it may be, and end every day by mentioning her to God in prayer.
World's going on.
You know how when you come home every day and ask me what I did today?
Yeah.
Well, today I didn't do it.
You missed the line? She said, you know how you come home every day and ask me what I did every day? Today I didn't do it. Well, we've heard that line. I thought it was rather cute, though. It's so true. And you know, it's, we saw from the kids reading earlier that a virtuous wife or woman is hard to find. And the CEV says, show respect for her. Praise her in public, in the city gates, for what she has done. It's so easy to take for granted what a mother does. Not just take it for granted, but not even notice it. And it may take a day like that when you come home and she did nothing, that you actually realize that something actually happened. A lot of things, and a lot of things got prevented from happening that were disasters. Well, I say that because I want you to honor mothers by showing respect. Praise her in public. It says, praise her in the city gates for what she's done. And I use that broadly, that there are identifiable things that you see in and around the household, or some contribution that mom is making to the family or to a child particularly. And, you know, it really helps mom to hear that somebody noticed and says, you know, that I know that took a great sacrifice to give up your whole afternoon just to take this child to sit through that boring assembly, or to, you know, take this child to this scout meeting or whatever you were doing with them. You know, maybe you were just sewing something for them, making some trivial thing, or maybe changing diapers, which seems like a total waste of time. But, you know, if those diapers don't get changed, you know, then you need the desitin or whatever. That, you know, there's a whole bunch of other things happen that or need to happen if the mundane and the unnoticeable things don't get done. And so I just simply say that identify, as you identify and see something mom does, elevate it, and speak positive. Say something. You don't have to make up lies, because there's a zillion things that are positive that are happening. You just identify them, articulate them. It makes her life so much better to know that somebody actually thinks I'm doing something good and worthwhile, significant. You don't have to wait till like Henry J. Hines did. I don't want to minimize what he did, but He did a good thing too. But, you know, Heinz was the Heinz 57 varieties guy. He founded the company, you know, for ketchup and mustard. And in his last will, in testament, guess what he did? He wrote a big long thing about how great his mother was. Really, I'll just read a little bit. He says, looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained. Isn't that great? Put your mother in your will and say, what a great woman. She made me anything I was that's worthwhile. Of course, you don't have to wait until you die to do something like that. You can do it right now. Great way to elevate, to honor mom. Didn't we get that point? That was supposed to be praise, acknowledge, good. Your mother's good. That was the point we just covered. Show her respect, praise her in public for what she has done. Fifthly, remember your mother in her old age. Remember mom in her old age. You know, 1 Timothy says, and quite strongly, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I mean, those are strong words. That who's going to care for mom when she gets older? Of course, that doesn't mean you have to bring her into your house. If you can do that and make it happen in a positive way, that's a good thing. But she may need some kind of assisted living. And somebody's got to make that stuff happen. And that takes sacrifice. And some of you are doing that. And it's a commendable thing that you're doing. And God notices it. I like the other. It disappeared, didn't it? Oh, I have my notes, so we're okay. But just, you don't have any cheat sheets. What's happening, Mark? Should I try to hit it again? Okay. It's like mom is quite busy doing stuff that who knows what's going on. But a lot of good stuff, that's for sure. But remember mom in her old age. I like Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life. And do not despise your mother when she is old. And, of course, that just simply means care for her in her old age. You know, it was George Burns who once said that tennis is a great game. Burns said that tennis is a game for young people. It requires a lot of energy. He says, when you're young, you love to play singles. Until you get to be 25. He said, then I recommend you play doubles because it doesn't require as much running, as much energy. He says, I won't tell you how old I am. He said, but the last time I played tennis, there were 28 people on the court. Just on my side. Well, the point obviously is, as you get older, you just can't run like you used to. You can't do the things like you used to. And sometimes older people might think they can. They might even feel like a 16-year-old trapped in a 90-year-old body and trying to do stuff that a 16-year-old was doing. All the more reason that we need to help mom. Somebody has to help her. Even when she doesn't maybe not even know or want help, you need to be there and be her support. I mean, she helped you when you couldn't walk very well, speak, get along very well. When she gets old, and she's not going to do those things too well. And he says, remember your mom, she gets older. It's a great thing, a hard sacrificial thing to do, folks. But, you know, the time doesn't last forever, but it seems like it when you're in the middle of it. But it's a thing you need to be doing. To make happen. Hopefully the whole family can share And the burden doesn't fall just on one person. But somebody in the family needs to make that happen. You know, Jesus himself was making it happen. You know, when he was on the cross, you remember some of his last words? He looked at his mom and he looked at John. You would think he's thinking about his pain here. He's not. He's thinking, we assume that Jesus' father, Joseph, had passed away at this point. It seemed to imply that. But anyway, the point is that he looks at John, he looks at his mom, and he said, John, here's your mom. Here's your mother now. And then the next scripture, right after that, it says, and John took her into Jesus' mother into his very own home. See, the point, John got the point. Someone's going to have to care for mom when I'm gone. And apparently, John knew and got it right. How we doing? Hey, we're doing okay up here. We got these. And then just briefly, I'll give you two more points. Remember that when you honor your mom, you honor Christ. And I realize that this text in Matthew 25:40 specifically is talking about what you've done unto the little ones, talking about those who believe in him. But I think it can be broadly applied, where Jesus says, what you've done for the least of these, you've done to me. I find it easier for me to care for somebody. You know, we tend to minimize people. For some reason, we don't minimize Jesus. And we know we got that right, at least in our minds. And so it may be helpful for you when someone's not responding too well or you're not feeling like you want to do the caring. Jesus says, when you honor your mother, you honor me. You're doing it to me, just like it was me you were bringing the dinner for. It was me that you were making the bed for or helping out. As you know, by the way, that text is where he says, oh, I want to tell you this one little thing, just briefly. It's Gordon Mumford. Gordon Mumford of Mumford Ministries. He says that every year he has Jesus over his house for dinner. How do you do that? You can't have Jesus at Christmas time. Jesus comes to my house for dinner. I said, yeah. He said, how do you do that? He said, I just invite him. Oh, you do? Why? How do you? I don't get it. He says, well, I just put an extra plate out, got some extra food, wrap an extra gift, and then I go look for somebody who's poor and needy, somebody who's left out, forgotten, and I invite them. And every year, Jesus comes. Because remember what he says in Matthew 25? Lord, when do we see you hungry? When do we see you poor? When do we see you in need? And he says, what you did to one of them, the least of these, you did it to me. You get the point. You see, as you minister to your mom in her needy condition, especially as she gets older, or even now, you minister to Christ. And then finally, remember that grace received overflows with more grace to others. God's given you grace. Freely, you've received it. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. While we were sinners, enemies of God, Christ sacrificed His life for us. He's forgiven you. You believe in Christ. You trust Him. He has given you the gift of grace. He accepts you. In all your unworthiness, He accepts you. It's a free gift. He says He wants His grace. If it's truly in our hearts, it's going to fill us up and overflow to the people around us. And that should help us to honor our mothers in a better way, that we realize that we're recipients of grace, and therefore that grace is to overflow, especially to the ones we love or claim to love who are around us. Close with this last little story. John Newton. John Newton, as you know, sold slaves for a living. Can you imagine to being at that point where you actually capture and sell people, human beings, for money? That's what he did. And somebody asked him a question one time, and he says, I'm not sure. He said, when I was much younger, I couldn't give you a dogmatic answer. He said, but I'm not sure these days. There's only two things I'm sure of. Newton says, one, he said, I'm sure that I'm a miserable sinner. I'm a miserable, unworthy sinner. And two, I'm sure that Jesus Christ is my all-sufficient Savior. Isn't that great? You see, Newton says, I'm sure that I'm unworthy of God's grace. Just a sinner. But I'm also sure that God has been sufficiently gracious to me in Jesus Christ, who is sufficient for all of my needs. And so my last tip is simply, you can honor your mothers by remembering a little story about John Newton. You're undeserving, yet God has bathed you with His grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. And He wants that grace to overflow from your heart, especially to your mom. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before You. And we ask You to use this message to help us to be gracious to the mothers around us. And may this be more than just some words that a preacher stood up here and shared. May they somehow bring honor to our moms and honor to Christ as we gain a greater appreciation for His vision for our lives concerning our mothers. Amen.